As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 95. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, he grasped the high mountains. He made the ocean. He owns it. His hands sculpted earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him, on your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he is our God. And we are the people that he pastures. We are the flock that he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Would you pray with me? And so, God, this morning, before anything else, we want to do as the psalmist invites us to do. We want to drop everything and listen. For you, the creator of the universe, the king of our hearts, is in our midst. And you are worthy of our full attention, all of our devotion. You are worthy of the songs that we will sing. You are worthy of our love. And so this morning, may what happens in this place join in with the song of creation, recognizing this God who is so powerful and so majestic and so real and so good. As we declare your goodness in this place, would you be honored, O God? And would you encourage every single heart with your presence? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, we turn to your word because we are your children and our hearts long to hear from you. We need to hear from you. We will not make it in the living of these days without hearing from you. We come because we are hungry and we are thirsty to know you more, Lord. To encounter you just as truly as Simon and James and John encountered you. We are here because we want to be your people. And we want to live by your truth. And so we invite your Spirit to move freely among us as we turn our hearts and our ears to your word. Help us, O Lord, hear whatever it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is that you, O Lord, want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just last week, we started a new series, and we're going to be spending a few months really getting to know the heart of Jesus. All the way until after Easter, week by week, what is the heart of Jesus? I'm not sure there could be any better pursuit or any better use of our time than digging into the heart of our Savior. This morning, we find that Jesus' heart is to get into our boat. He's just finishing up a successful preaching tour. Besides that little downer day in Nazareth that we saw last week when his family tried to kill him, remember that one? Besides that, Jesus has been having a good time. He's been going around healing people, preaching the good news. The crowds are coming. We find him today. He's on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and you see some fishermen somewhere in the background, and they're cleaning their nets. We find out later that they didn't catch anything that night, and so what they're cleaning from their nets is everything but fish, seaweed, muck, garbage, disappointment. The crowd is pressing in around Jesus. They are wanting some more of this good news. But the fishermen, they are far too consumed by their long night at sea to really notice or to really care. Until Jesus steps into Peter's boat and asks him to push off so he can speak to the crowds. He's making Peter's boat into his pulpit. So we ask this morning, what is Jesus' heart? Right off the bat, we see that Jesus' heart is to hang out with us in our everyday places. Is that good news or is that bad news? Jesus is preaching all over Galilee. And whenever Jesus starts talking, wherever he is, church breaks out. On this day, he steps into Peter's office, his boat, and he just lets church happen right there in the boat. When Jesus is in our boat, Jesus goes to work with us and home. And everywhere in between. I don't know about you, but if church is a place to be honest, and we can be a little bit honest, I sometimes prefer a Jesus who just kind of stays at church. The Jesus who we know where to find him when we need him, but he doesn't inconvenience us by showing up in our boat at our work. If we know that he's going to be here, we know where to find him when we need him, then we can come to places like this on our best behavior, ready for him. At least most of us tried that. When we come to church, most of us cuss just a little bit less in this room than other places. Most of us maybe drink a little bit less in this place, gossip a little bit less, shoot the bird at other people a little bit less. Because we have among us this sense that Jesus is here. And something about this place is holy. And so we try the best we know how to at least respect it as such. But what if after church today, what if you get in your car and you're pulling out and say you have to make a left-hand turn, God forbid. And say you look in your rearview mirror and there's Jesus. Sitting right there in your back seat. Is that good news or is that bad news? Jesus, what are you doing here? Don't they need you in there? No, I'm going with you. You get home. You turn on the TV. There's Jesus on the couch next to you. Do you want to watch the Super Bowl with Jesus? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Monday morning, you head to work. And there's Jesus dressed for work too. You're coming, aren't you, Jesus? Yep, I'm coming. Is that good news or is that bad news? What will work look like if Jesus is there too? If we have a Jesus who gets in the boat of the fishermen, we have a Jesus who goes to work with us. We have a Jesus who shows up to all of life with us. And sometimes we'd rather leave Jesus just kind of preaching on the shore. We'll kind of do our own thing and then come and check in with him whenever we're ready for it. But we have a Jesus who doesn't want to just preach on the shore. He wants to get in the boat with us. He wants to make our lives his pulpit. Will we let Jesus into our boats? Into our everyday comings and goings. What's Jesus's heart? That's the question. What's his heart? His heart is to turn disappointing nights into brand new mornings. You know that Peter is worn out when Jesus finds him in the story. He's had a night of fighting the waves, of throwing the net and pulling it in over and over again to find in it nothing again and again. You know that there were times during that long night that Peter had to wonder if his life was even working. That he had to wonder what else he could possibly be qualified to do. He had to have been afraid that he just might be stuck with this frustrating career forever. You know that there were times during that night that Peter felt like the ultimate failure. He was going to walk back into his home in just a few hours, and he's going to have a wife and maybe even some kids who were hopeful for breakfast, and there was nothing. Failure as a fisherman, failure as a provider, fearing that his whole life might be this just barely making it day after day, one series of disappointments after another. Have you ever had a night like that? When you can't sleep and you're just asking yourself if this is really as good as it's gonna get? Have you ever had that night when your body aches and your soul aches right there with it? It could be a literal night, or it could be a long series of nights. What happens when Jesus gets in your boat after such a night? What happens? Morning comes. Morning comes. But there's this thing is we have to let him into our boats. Sometimes when the night is still very heavy, we have to let him in. I find myself lately in this little season of life I'm in going on lots of walks with Jesus. It's how I can find him in my boat, intentionally going out and just walking with him. I'm carrying in my heart some grief, some losses, and some anxiety over some church stuff, weariness over the state of our world. And none of these things are resolved yet. And I don't personally know how God is going to care for my heart or for BCC or for our world. A year down the road, 5 years down the road, I don't know. It's all just kind of there. There's a lot that is raw right now and weary right now. And on these walks with Jesus that I'm trying to sneak in as many times a week as I can. What I'm doing as I walk is I'm intentionally just pouring my heart out to Jesus in that place. And then I'm stopping and I'm just listening for his voice, for his presence. And then I might start singing a song to him. And then I stop and I listen as he's singing back. And then I might begin to just recite scripture to him. And then I listen as he's speaking scripture back. It's just this season of waiting to get out of that long night. But it's trying to keep Jesus in my boat, even if I don't feel like he's fixing things quickly enough. And why am I doing that? Because I've seen in my life enough times up until now that when Jesus is in my boat, morning always comes. Are you in a dark night? Are you in a disappointing season? A time of despair? I believe that God brought someone here today just for this, just to simply encourage you to just keep Jesus in your boat. Because with him there, morning always comes, every single time. What's Jesus's heart? That's the question. What is Jesus's heart? Jesus's heart is to be the expert, so we don't have to be. Did you know in this story that Jesus is a rabbi, that he is not a fisherman? Before a rabbi, he was a carpenter, still not a fisherman. And he calls to Peter, the career fisherman, the one who has been on a boat since he was little bitty, the one who has accrued more hours on those waters than anyone around, the one who knew what he was doing, made a living by it, found an identity in it. The rabbi says, "Have you tried fishing in that spot over there?" Yeah, you know what Peter was thinking, don't you? Stay in your lane, Jesus. You preach the sermons, I'll do the fishing. You go and be religious, I will run the business. Don't come onto my boat acting like you are some kind of expert in my trade. We've been doing this all night long. Don't you think we've tried that spot, Jesus? Gosh, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's hard to let someone else be the expert over parts of my life. Most of us don't much like anyone telling us what to do with our work, with our families, with our lifestyles. We know best how our worlds should work for us. We are our own experts. And if we're not careful, we do it to Jesus too. I can pray to Jesus that he might alleviate world hunger. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has the power and the wisdom to know how to do that. But when my own bank account gets a little bit low, all of a sudden, I've got to be the expert around here figuring out how to get bread on my table. I believe in my heart of hearts that Jesus can heal the broken relationship that has been going on for thousands of years between the people of Israel and the people of Palestine. I really believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. But then in our own lives, our own broken marriages and broken friendships, don't be the expert on that, Jesus. I'll figure that one out on my own. I truly believe that Jesus can free prisoners. I heard a story about this Chinese preacher who walked out of a prison cell in China, past a dozen guards with an angel by his side, totally invisible to them until he was a free man. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus did that and that Jesus does that. But my own prisons, my own prisons of addiction or depression, of insecurity, of shame. Don't be an expert on that, Jesus. I've got to get myself out of this funk. If Jesus steps into our boats, he gets to be the expert. Hey, Peter, try fishing over there. Shh, we're the experts around here, Jesus. Stay in your lane. Isn't it exhausting having to be the expert on anything? Isn't it exhausting? Jesus' heart is to take that pressure off of all of us as we just let him be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and we just get to be children of God. Don't you sometimes miss being a kid when you didn't have to worry about bills or politics or how to impress anybody? When you just got to be loved and cared for, and you just got to play like there was nothing in the world going on because you knew in your heart of hearts that there was someone bigger than you who was being an expert on all of these things that you had no capacity to control anyway, so you could just go play. Don't you miss that sometimes? Jesus' heart is to stir up that childlikeness in us once again. He's the expert in all the things. So we can relax and rest. We can even dare to play. Because if he's the expert and he's in my boat, it's going to be okay. Here's the thing about that. Jesus, the expert, he doesn't force his expertise upon us. No one likes the expert who wants you to know they're the expert, right? Those people are fun. No, Jesus will not force his expertise upon us. We invite him to be Lord in our lives. When Jesus tells Peter how to fish, Peter chooses to say to the rabbi, it doesn't make any sense. We've been doing it all night. Nevertheless, Jesus, we will try it. Jesus, you might have no idea what you're talking about. What you are saying to me right now might never work in my world and my situation. Nevertheless, Jesus, if you say it, I will do it. If Jesus is in our boats, our lips will say over and over again, nevertheless, Jesus. I don't understand. Nevertheless, I will try what you've said. I'm skeptical, Jesus. Nevertheless, I'm throwing my net over because you haven't failed me yet. Jesus in our boats, he gets to be the expert, and we just get to keep saying, nevertheless, let's give it a go. Has Jesus asked you to do something lately that sounded absolutely ridiculous? If not, he might not be totally in your boat, because he's got some wacky ideas. Did you say nevertheless and do it anyway? Or did you choose to be the expert on that part of your life? Good idea, Jesus, but I've got another one. Jesus' heart is to hear his children say, nevertheless, because you've said it, I'll give it a try. What's Jesus' heart? Jesus' heart is to show us God's abundance. Peter catches so many fish that he cannot bring them in. Others rush to his aid to help him. Two boats together now, and they both start to sink. There are that many fish. Try to picture how many fish that has to be to sink two boats. You see, Jesus doesn't just give them enough fish to have them say, okay, fine, this guy can fish after all. No, he gives them so many fish that he is no longer even just a great fisherman. He is now a miracle worker. And what's just happened is these ones are now going to be provided for from here on out. A night of nothing to a night of provision for years to come. As they begin their journey walking with Jesus, their families are going to be okay because Jesus has brought in this abundance of fish. Have you ever noticed how much our Jesus loves the idea of overflow? Overflow. When he feeds people, there are always leftovers. When he heals people, there's always this complete restoration. When he fishes, there are more fish caught than two boats and the nets can hold. Jesus' heart isn't just to give his children barely enough to eke by day by day. His heart is to fill us with an abundance of God's goodness so we are fully alive. Peter's catch is so big that other boats get in on it. Jesus' desire, his heart, is to be so good to us that his goodness spills over from us to those who are around us. When Jesus is in our boat, God's abundant goodness is ours for the taking. Jesus' heart is for us to know that this abundance is for real. What is Jesus' heart? Jesus' heart is to pour out God's grace upon us. Peter is suddenly aware that he is standing in the presence of the living God. And he falls to his knees and says, "Go away, Jesus. I am not worthy of such generosity. I could never be entitled to any kind of grace." And in this holy presence, all Peter can think of is all of the ways that he has fallen short. All he can think of is how unworthy he is of any gift that Jesus might bring him. "Go away, Jesus, go away. I cannot receive this. Just go away." Jesus doesn't go away. When he stepped into Peter's boat, he knew everything about that man. He knew all of his failures, and he knew all of his sins. He knew all of the ways he had cheated and lied and done what he shouldn't have done. He knew it all. And Jesus stepped into his boat, knowing that day that he was going to shower Peter with God's grace. Peter's past did not even make him think twice for a second. Jesus was coming in with way more than a gift of fish. Jesus was coming in with abundant, amazing grace. Jesus' heart for you is the same as his heart for Peter, and that's that you would simply receive God's grace. What's the worst thing you've ever done? Take a moment and tell your neighbor. Just kidding, don't do that. What's the worst thing you've ever done? No, don't really do it. You don't have to. Stop. Unless you just really want to, you can. What's that thing in your heart of hearts that you are the most ashamed of? And how many times has the enemy stirred that thing back up and used it in your life to tell you that you are not qualified for God's greatest blessings? How many times has the enemy brought that back to your mind and told you that that now disqualifies you from serving God in the places that your heart longs to serve him the most? I used to have this man who would come into my office quite often, about once a month. And he would talk to me about his love for Jesus and this deep desire he had within him to serve Jesus in all kinds of ministries. And then every time he would hang his head and he would begin to tell me this same story about this season in his life when he made some really destructive decisions. And he said, I know over those years I turned my back on God and I can't forgive myself for it. And that dark time in his life, it was holding him hostage. He was convinced that because of those days that God could never, would never trust him with anything significant again. And I would tell him every single month, that is not the voice of God. When Jesus is in your boat, when Jesus is wanting to shower you with God's love, we are the ones saying, I am not worthy. Go away, Jesus. You don't know the mess that you're dealing with. And Jesus is the one saying, I stepped into this boat knowing exactly who it belonged to. I stepped into this boat not by mistake, but because I love you. And I stepped into this boat because there is grace enough for you. So my child, just receive it. If Jesus is in your boat, there's grace enough for you, my friend. For the worst things and for all the things, there is grace enough. Just receive it. Don't be afraid, Peter, Jesus says. For you're about to start working with me, and you're going to be catching people. What's Jesus' heart? Jesus' heart is to give you a calling. Peter, James, and John, they're fishermen by default. Because you see, every Jewish boy dreamed of being a rabbi. Only the best of the best of the best made it through every level of schooling and were eventually chosen as good enough to be a rabbi. All of the rest of them, 99% of them, at some point along the way in their schooling were told, you know, you're not really cut out for this rabbi stuff. You're not really smart enough, not really charismatic enough, not really from the right family. You're not really moral enough. Just go home and learn your family business. And so that's what they're doing. James and John, we just learned their father was a fisherman. They're learning the family business. These are the not good enoughs, doing the only job that they felt they were cut out for. And one day a rabbi shows up and says, Peter, James, John, I don't care who along the way has told you that you are not good enough to dream big dreams with God. I am calling you to be my disciples. I want you, of all the people on this earth, to follow me. To learn from me, to do as I do. I believe, Peter, James, and John, that you do have what it takes to work with me and to be a rabbi like I am. Jesus' heart for them is Jesus' same heart for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Just like Jesus believed that these fishermen could really do the things that he's doing, he believes you can too. Jesus' heart is that you would see yourself as God sees you. And that is as someone with incredible potential. Jesus' heart is that you would dream about participating with God in all of the ways that God dreams about getting to work with you. Jesus' heart is that you wouldn't get stuck for a moment just barely surviving, but that you would be consumed by this God who calls you to work with him. Just like Peter, you have a calling from God. Peter didn't yet understand half of what this calling was going to mean. Fishing for people? Huh? What? But this much he knew. There was grace enough for him. And Jesus was in his boat. And following Jesus, one day at a time, starting now, he'd discover the good work that Jesus had for him to do. And Jesus' heart is just the same for you. Receive that grace. Let him in your boat every day, all week long. Determined to actually follow Jesus. Starting now, wherever he goes. And you will discover the good work that Jesus has just for you. In no time, too. That's his heart for us. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that in just one short story, you reveal your heart to us in countless ways. We've seen your heart, and now we open our hearts and give them to you. Have your way among us, we pray. Amen.